Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How's everybody? Good morning, online fam. Whew. So, today we're going to be talking about me to we. Dun, dun, dun. But today as we dive into me to we, there's some danger ahead because many of you guys heard that and decided this isn't for me. But can I suggest differently for you? For some of you, you're like me, and you're in your single season, waiting. Some of you guys are dating. Some of you are married. Others divorced. Others widowed. But regardless of where you are in your journey, I believe this word is for each of us. You'll be able to apply it wherever you are, but also be able to share it with those in your sphere of influence, whether that be family, friends, coworkers. So, however, as we approach this, can I remind us, men and women in the room, men and women online, that first and foremost, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are the brides of Christ. As we journey through our identity, purpose, and community in preparation for singleness to marriage, we need to first evaluate how are we doing with that as the bride of Christ. You see, we all have life experiences that shape and mold our belief systems. And for a long time, when it came to marriage, I looked like the person standing outside the Double Dutch fruit, waiting to get in. Yes, I want to get married. No, I don't. Yes, I want to get married. No, I don't. You see, it was that back and forth constantly. 21, my life changed drastically. You see, it was at this time I told Jesus that if he got me out of the mess that I was in, he could do whatever he wanted with my life. At that point, I started going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Saturday morning church activities, and any other time that the door was open. So let me let you guys in on a little secret about myself. I'm a people watcher. I love watching people. Specifically at this time, I'm in this new place in church. I am watching couples because I'm still doing the Double Dutch. I'm watching to see how are these couples doing life? Is it going to be different from anything I've ever experienced? So I'm watching these couples at a distance. A few of them, I start going into their homes and hanging out, and I realize it is different. You see, there was minor disagreements, but no explosive blow-ups were happening, which was something different for me, something new. So I knew at this time, I can do the marriage thing if it looks like this, because I wanted something more if I was going to get married than I ever had for myself. So I'm in their houses, I'm watching, I'm doing, and then all of a sudden, what's done in the dark came to light. You see, you can only hide secrets for so long before the light exposes them. One evening after church, a domestic violence incident occurs in the church parking lot. And from that incident, two things were cemented in my brain. Number one, church couples were just like world couples. They just hide it a lot better. The other thing cemented in my mind was the response to the incident. And it was at this point I vowed over my life, I will never get married. It's me and God, and we're good. I'm cool hanging out there. So I'd like to fast forward us to December of 2018. We're in Advent season, and the message is about hope. Just to give you guys a little background, at this point in my life, I'm 3 years out of the previous church where the domestic violence incident occurs, and God is walking me through some deep healing. It's not cute. But here we are in service, and the message is about hope. And at the end of the service, I get this prompt, prepare for marriage. Didn't like that prompt at all. So I cried, you know. To be honest, I dramatically cried because I said I would never get married. But if I can take you back, I had already told Jesus, you can do whatever you want with my life. And yet I had this prompting, prepare for marriage. There's a little bit of conflict. just a little. So let me tell you guys, in that God is so good and so faithful that when he calls us to do something, he also orders our steps. So I immediately set up a meeting with my pastor because I'm thinking he's either giving me the steps to take because I like checklists so I can check my boxes and say, all right, I did that. Or he's going to tell me, did you hear from God right? Y'all, he didn't do either of those. He just said, his direction was, be obedient to what God is asking you to do. It's a little tough, a little hard pill to swallow there, because I don't want to be obedient. Like, I just want to do enough to say I did it, right? What I didn't know, in the same service, the Holy Spirit had worked on two of my friends, placed it on their hearts to start this small group for people who have laid down dreams or forgotten about dreams or put them aside to come together and encourage each other, to pick the dreams back up and walk them out. So they create this group called Hope Chest. It began 2 months after I got my direction of prepare for marriage. Within our first couple of sessions, the topic was let your yes be yes and your no be no. So it's at this point my double Dutch thing is coming to a close, right? There, because God said prepare, so I'm back in my double Dutch season of, all right, we're going to do this, maybe not, okay, let's figure it out. And I had to say, what will I do? Let my yes be yes and my no be no. So God got my yes. Here we are, July 2021. I've been on this journey for a couple of years, and over the next few moments together, we're just going to walk through some of the lessons that I've learned and am continuing to learn in this process about identity, purpose, and community. So if you guys would, read with me Genesis 1:26. We're going to start in the beginning. Then God said, let us make mankind. Over the livestock. Yeah. So Pastor Jen started this We Relationship series with the statement, every relationship starts with Christ in me. Sounds great, right? Does it challenge you at all? Just a little bit? Challenged me. So I've been in church for 13 years. 2 or 3 months after starting church, I started to serve. And I say that to say we get used to church lingo. The good things that we hear in church, like we're forgiven, chosen, loved, and so on, we often get so used to it that we become numb to it. We start, as soon as people start to mention those things, we tune out because we've heard it all before. So 2 years ago, I was challenged to start going through the book of Ephesians, start writing down the names that I'm called because of Jesus. I want to encourage you right there to take some time to do that for yourself. But some of these names that we're given are chosen, loved, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, marked. And this is just a few from Ephesians 1. We haven't even touched the rest of the book. None of these names were new to me, but at the time, they were head knowledge instead of heart knowledge. You see, I was working to prove that I am chosen, that I'm loved, and that I'm forgiven. It was freely given to me. Don't need to prove it. Now, I believe in being honest, church. There's no reason to pretend, right? There are still days that I still have to remind myself and persuade myself that this is, in fact, my name, and I don't have to prove them. You see, we often view ourselves through this image of broken glass glued back together, and yet, because of the blood of Jesus, we are viewed without blemish. The problem is, we see ourselves through this broken view. We operate out of brokenness. We enter into relationships from this place of brokenness, accepting less than what God has for us. I'm not saying perfection, because we're all human, we're all flawed, but there's a big but there. We get to choose daily, where will I fix my eyes? Will I fix my eyes on my mistakes? Will I fix my eyes on my failures? Will I fix my eyes on my sin? Or will I confess it, turn my eyes back to the Father for the right perspective, recognizing and accepting his mercies are new every morning? So once I dealt with my identity, and really from the exercise of going through Ephesians, I realized that I was wrapping my identity in labels I am given: daughter, sister, friend, aunt, teacher. And these are just a few of the positives. We're not going to touch the negatives today. But even now, you probably thought of a few labels that are attached to you, whether they were placed on you or that you placed on yourself. But the names were given in Ephesians, and throughout the Word of God, they can't be stripped away. So church, believers, brides of Christ, how are you doing with your identity? Are there some names you need to take off and replace with the names that Jesus has called you by? So now that we've talked about identity, because that's the core of who we are and where we operate from, let's talk about our purpose. If you're like me, and like most people, at some point in your life, maybe multiple points in your life, you've asked the question, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Guess what? The Word has an answer for us. If you would, read with me Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. That's a good word. And so often we read it straight through. But what happens when we break it down? We are God's handiwork. We're God made. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, God has made each of us created in Jesus to do good works. He works in us and through us to complete the work that God already prepared for us to do. We get to choose to cooperate. We're never forced. We get to choose. This isn't a new thing, guys. Let's go back and look at Adam. Read with me Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man. I don't know if you guys are like me, but often, like, we just read things. But I love that. God took Adam. God took Adam and put him in the garden with the purpose of him to work it and take care of it. Adam was where God wanted him to be, with the purpose to work and take care of the garden. Let me just ask, what if Adam decided he didn't want to be in the garden? What if he decided to just walk away from it? I'm done. I'm good. We out. What if he decided, I'll stay in the garden, but I don't feel like caring for the garden? What if he doesn't feel like doing the work? What if he doesn't feel like taking care of it? This seems crazy, you know, but we often operate out of our feelings. What would happen? Or where I'm challenged is, am I where God's placed me to be? Am I working and taking care of the areas as he desires me to do? You know, there's a difference in me doing it and me doing the way he desires me to do it. You see, we often go to work. Some days we're just tired, so we show up and we do the bare minimum just to get by. Is that how God desires us to do it? Challenge, right? Let's look at this first and foremost. We are the bride of Christ. Jesus is my husband. As a believer, he's also your husband. Am I serving him? Are you serving him? Are you serving where he's asked you to serve him? You see, can we be real? Just for a little bit. A lot of times we serve in a manner because it becomes easy to us. We're not serving where Jesus wants us to serve, but because it's easy, that's where we're serving at. We often become complacent. Can I be real with you guys for just a little bit longer? Serving in children's ministry, that's me all day long. That is where I'm passionate. That's my sweet spot. Standing before y'all, it's a little uncomfortable. I love y'all, but y'all are uncomfortable. And yet, did y'all know Pastor Jen gave me a pass because of surgery to go, you don't need to do it right now. And I was praying, y'all, I was praying, Lord, let me take the pass. Like, get me out of this. Let's wait a couple months down the road. And the Lord kept saying no. And so I eventually had to come back with my answer of, I was told no, I'm supposed to do this. Y'all.
Amen.
So that goes back to serving is a heart issue. You see, we can go through the motions, we can do the things, we can check the boxes, but with a wrong attitude, everyone around you notices your attitude stinks. You see, I used to teach Sunday school class. And if you've ever taught a Sunday school class, you start out with singing. You sing for joy because they're coming in with all their stuff from the week, all the stuff that happened Sunday morning of mom and dad trying to get them into the building, right? And there are times you're singing and you're like, the attitude in this room ain't right. So I'd stop my class because this is, you know, we're going to do it right. And I'd tell my class, attitude check, and they'd respond, praise the Lord. And I'd say it again, attitude check. And they'd respond, praise the Lord. And I'd go, attitude check. And they'd respond, praise
the Lord.
Thank you. And then eventually you hear a bunch of giggles happening because we do it over and over. But the lesson that I taught them in that, not in doing that, but after the fact is all that we do unto the Lord. Sometimes we got to get out of our own stuff and realize that our acts of service, our acts of worship is unto the Lord. It's not for y'all. I love y'all, but I'm not preaching for y'all. It's an act of service unto the Lord. So church, I got to ask us, how is our attitude? How is your attitude when it comes to serving? You see, we need to serve Jesus first and foremost, but then we need to be willing to serve each other in relationship. So I want to bring to mind a few weeks ago, Pastor Jen and Pastor Rick, in their sermon on the people we marry, talked about serving each other. So I'm going to sound a little harsh, but we got to be honest. The world is telling you, you ought to be served in relationship. And if you're not getting served, you need to remove those people from your life. We call it cancel culture, you know. They're not serving us, get rid of them. But guess what? We need to make ourselves servants. We need to be willing to serve each other. And can I be so bold as to tell you, if you're not ready to serve, you're not ready for we. I'll tell you that again. If you're not ready to serve, you're not ready for we. So once we accept our purpose and say yes to serving in it, we must recognize that within purpose, God has given us boundaries as well as consequences. How many of y'all like boundaries? I know I don't. You see, boundaries can sometimes feel like restriction. They get this negative connotation, but they're not. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. So we're going to read together Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. If you guys would read with me. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat. See, Adam had purpose to take care of the garden, to work the garden. And within that purpose, God has given him boundaries. If we fast forward the story, we know the boundary gets broken. Shame enters in. Single people, married people, can I tell you God's given us boundaries? They're not to bind us, but so that we can have freedom. You see, we often see rules as a challenge. Let me speak for me. I often see rules as a challenge. How far can I go without actually breaking the rule? Let's do some confession real quick. How fast can I go on 210 without the police officer actually pulling me over? Just saying. Can I tell you this has gotten me in more trouble than anything else? Because when we flirt with the line, with the boundary, there comes a time that there's a line in the sand, and before you even realize it, your big toe, not even all of you, but just your big toe has slid over that line, and you don't even realize it's happened until after it's done. Let's look at it like this. When you have a young baby, a young child, you put up baby gates. You put them at the stairs and other unsafe areas because you don't want them falling and getting hurt. But as that child grows, you now have a fence in your yard and you allow them to go out and play within the fence, within the yard, because there's a boundary up, because you expect them to stay within the given boundary. So this is where the we to me or the me to we becomes a little blurry, a little challenging, because we, the Big C Church, often tell singles, save the intimate part of a relationship for marriage, but no guidance from there. So if the church isn't giving guidance, where are they going? Who are they listening to? They're listening to the world. We're listening to the world. And do you know what the world's telling us? If it feels good, do it, because you deserve to be happy. Deception, y'all. Deception. Can I tell you, when the boundary was broken, it didn't feel good? Adam and Eve ran and hid. Can I tell you, living outside of the boundaries God has given me hasn't felt good once the seasons of feeding my flesh were done? While I'm clean and forgiven, the memories don't feel good, because oftentimes I need a voice, an outside voice, to remind me that I am free, I am clean, I am forgiven. That my sin, my stains, are as white as snow. The boundary's there for a reason. And within relationships, guys, you have to seek God on what is the boundary for you and your relationship. We are all so uniquely wired. I love that Shawnee shared that this morning, is that we are uniquely wired. We're so uniquely made. We're not cookie cutter people, guys. And so it's different boundaries for different people, because some of you may need to monitor the amount of time you're alone with the opposite gender. Maybe you need to be sensitive to the time of day, activities you're engaging in, or even touch. These things aren't sin. They're not sin at all. But depending on how you are wired, if it's not watched over, it can lead to sin. So, church, that covers the we relationship. But bride of Christ, let's touch base with you. Maybe for you, it's cutting your tithe for vacation. Or maybe it's the curiosity of palm reading and crystals that have your big toe sliding. Maybe for you, it comes a little more subtle, like in the movies you watch that only has a few risky scenes. Right now, there's probably a desire to want to defend and or excuse whatever your thing is. But can I challenge you to push back and dig deeper? Ask yourself, why am I wanting to defend? Then I encourage you to make a note so you remember to explore that later. Church, believers, brides of Christ, how are you doing with flirting with the boundaries outside of Christ? So we have talked about our identity. We've talked about our purpose. Let's talk about community. Read with me, if you will, Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Man should not be alone. Community. But so often in the church, we jump right to marriage, right? Because we know Eve is coming. But before that even happens, we need community to walk beside us in the single season and even after it. You see, Adam was walking in the garden, no distractions, no other people, no technology. If he was on that and just walking with God, how much more do we need to be in community? In community with God and with other people. You see, people in our community are able to see things in you that need to be corrected. Because we all love a good correction, right? But it's important. People in you, in your community, they see things in you that need to be encouraged. They see things in the people that you date, specifically the red flags that are blind spots to you. We're just going to be honest for a minute here, church. I'll share. A few years ago, you know, step outside of my boundary God had given, and I decided I wanted to date. This word community is just a beautiful thing. So I'm talking to this guy and getting to know him, so I thought. And my best friend says, you should run a background check on him. I hear what you're saying, but run a background check on him. No, he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good. After a couple times, she goes, I'll pay for the background check. Just run the background check. Ran the background check. Listen to my community. Glad I ran the background check. You don't see him here today. So we'll just leave it at that. So let's look at why else. Let's look at another reason why community is important. Read with me Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. We can't do this thing called life alone. We need people who are pursuing Jesus to come alongside us. Because you know what? We're not always strong. And as I get weak in an area, I have battle buddies known as community that I get vulnerable with and say, here's where I'm weak. And they link arms with me. And even if I hit the ground, I'm not staying there. They've got me by my arms and they're getting me back to my feet. They're not making excuses for where I fell, why I fell, but helping me not to stay there. But they're also helping me to figure out how not to repeat it. Other times, my battle buddies create a circle around me because I need to be shielded as I walk through trials of life. Church, who are your battle buddies? Where are your battle buddies? We often emulate things that we watch and see. These lessons are caught and not taught. In order to change these things, there has to be an intentional work, intentional decisions. So God has taken me on this journey, placing me around healthy couples, not just placing me, but allowing me to be within their homes, watching and listening how they interact in everyday situations, as well as big decisions, conflict, and when a child suddenly leaves home. Each couple has been so different, but from each couple I have gleaned, and most of what I've observed is nothing like I've ever experienced. Each couple responding differently, but each couple has been seeking Jesus, communicating, asking for forgiveness most times when it's needed, and changing behaviors, trying not to repeat the very things that led them into the disagreement. Which leads me to the last sentence of Genesis 2:18. I will make a helper suitable for him. In the world, we often look for a compatible mate, compatible spouse. Even the latest dating apps, won't name them, but they advertise finding someone who's compatible. And that sounds like just a nuance of words, right? That sounds like no big deal. But let's look at the definition. Compatible means two things, in this instance, people, are able to exist together without conflict. Suitable means right or appropriate for a particular person, purpose, or situation. God desires so much more for us than we desire for ourselves. And we have to decide that we are willing to wait for the suitable mate, for God's best for us. Or we can choose to settle. We can choose to settle for the compatible mate. So I have news for us, church. Regardless of your marital status, the storms of life are coming. You're either in a storm, going into a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. But the importance of we in the storm, if we settle for someone who's compatible, when the storm hits, and it will, you will more than likely no longer be able to exist without conflict. Oftentimes, that means that we needs to split. What could happen if we wait for the suitable mate to come and the storm hits? When the storm comes, we run in and through the storm together. Ideally, we are individually pursuing God because we know that is where our help comes from. But we're also pursuing God together. Church, believers, brides of Christ, how are we doing placing ourselves in community? See, the funny thing about community, it requires this level of being vulnerable. If you're like me, it's a no-go. I'm good. Because it leaves me exposed. And I feel like I'm ready to be set up. But can I tell you, what was broken in community gets healed in community. See, when you get around safe people and you start to pull back the layers, it's hard, it's challenging, but it's worth it because God meets us in the midst of that thing. And in that, we experience healing, freedom, hope. All things we'd love to have, but without the work, right? We can't talk about me to we without talking about love. Aw, so cute. Do you guys know the love passage? Yes, you hear it at most weddings. Love is patient and love is kind. So I was once given the advice. They meant well. It was good. It was a good starting point. I was once given the advice that if I read through the love passage in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, and replaced the word love with whomever's name to ask, will it be an honest reflection of that person? So, you guys might not know this, but I have a journal to present to my husband that I've written prayers and letters to. And I used to write these prayers for him, that he would be patient and kind, because I know me. He's going to need to be patient and kind and not envy and so on and so forth, which isn't a bad thing to pray, right? Then I was challenged one day. The Holy Spirit reminded me, I can't control anyone's behavior but my own. So as I'm praying for these things, am I patient on a good day? Am I kind? Until you get in my bubble. But I need to be seeking and praying these things for myself. I need these attributes in me. Whew. No conviction there. It's totally cool. Y'all know. Seriously, though, there is no perfect marriage because there are no perfect people. For those of us who are single, we are to steward well in this season because what you don't steward well in this season, it's going to be magnified in the next. Fun times. For those who are married and maybe, For those who are married, there may be an area where you need to tweak. Flat out repent. Find some accountability. But it's not too late. You still have breath in your lungs. It's not too late. You see, marriage has purpose. It's not just the relations, but all that we do is to point back to Jesus. Whatsoever we eat or drink and whatsoever we do it all to the glory of Christ. So I'm going to share with you guys a little story. When I finally gave God my yes, I told God, I'll prepare for marriage, but I don't want a lot of people at my wedding. So I'll have it at the most inconvenient time possible. Remember we talked about the heart earlier? It's okay. It's one of those heart issues. So I decided a Tuesday morning, so it's not an extended weekend, it's not midweek, and nor am I leading anyone into the weekend. About mid-morning, so you can't really do a half day of work because it's too late to go in and too early to get off early. See how I'm dwindling down my guest list in this moment, right? Then a little ways into the journey, God spoke so clearly and said, it's not about you. My response, legit, what? It's not about me. Exactly. And God said, it's not about you. Your family and the people around you need to see me in you and through you. They need to see me in and through your marriage. They need to see me in and through your wedding. They need to be able to come and partake because they need to see it's possible. You see, we stand on platforms and we tell people, do it this way, live this way. It can happen like this, but we don't give them the opportunity to come and partake to see that it can happen. These things can be, they can happen in 2021. They can happen in 2022. These things are real life things that we can live out. So it's not about me. It's about the people around me and the Christ in me. God purposed us to be in relationship, to be a we with first Christ in me, then with each other. So as we walk in we with Jesus and with each other, I want to leave us with a few questions to think on. Where in my life am I mislabeled and I need to apply God's truth to? Where and whom am I being asked to serve? Who is in my close community or needs to be in my close community that is chasing after Jesus that I feel safe being vulnerable with and they're not afraid to challenge me? Am I being a good accountability partner and battle buddy, or am I just telling my person or people what they want to hear? Church, each of us has a foundational decision to make. Will I listen to what the world teaches to shape my view, or will I submit to my first and foremost husband, Jesus, to shape my view?
Let's pray. Excuse me. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful message that Mary brought forth, Lord. I thank you that it spoke to me directly, Lord. It made me think, Lord, of me being the bride, Lord, and you're the bridegroom, and how I'm representing you, Lord, to community, Lord. Am I making you look bad, Lord? My bridegroom, my man, am I doing stuff against what you want, Lord? Am I disrespecting you, Lord? Lord, let us each and every person, Lord, move from me to we, Lord.
Yeah, God.
That we know that the eyes of the world are on us, Lord, in our marriages, in community, Lord. In that community, Lord, that we show ourselves to, Lord. Yeah, be with us, Lord, as we go forth, Lord. Let us be good brides, Lord. And we ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.